And now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpits, here's Nick Perez.
That's right, and welcome to the new era of eloquence and exposition. This is Live from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, live and local, on location of Merced Church of Christ, deep in the heart of the Central Valley. Offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. I'm your host for this half-hour excursion into theology and other sermon matters, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez. Greetings, welcome to the program, glad you tuned in. Okay, we've got a lot to get to today. We've got a special in-studio guest with us, and I'll introduce him proper in just a moment. But first, our sponsor this half hour. This half hour brought to you by. Where's that music coming from? Can somebody help me out here? Where's that music coming from? No, I'm getting into my headphones have it.
Yes, and welcome to Life from the Pulpit.
David,
it is
where did you get this music?
It is the quickest expository show in the West as well as in the
East.
Can
he hear me?
We're giving you news and
views
that you
working?
Can use, along with a little help of some friends.
David,
Nick Perez.
This is my program.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You don't have to apologize.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm.
No, it's fine. Okay. But, you know, I was going to introduce you proper. What are you doing? What are you screaming? Just calm down.
I'm okay.
No, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
I'm okay, guys. I'm okay. I
know. Yeah.
I just had to get that out.
It's weird. What are you doing? Where'd you get this music? Listen, I'm going to introduce you proper here.
I don't even know where to begin. There's just so much to get to. I am agitated, and I'm coming to you angry tonight. I've got some rage coming to you.
What do you
got? A little righteous indignation for you.
All right.
What do you think about that?
I'm angry too.
We'll get to that in just a moment.
Okay.
And, you know, as we begin, obviously, I'm not Nick Perez. Nick Perez has actually been absent for quite a while from the microphone.
What? David, I'm right
there's
here.
There's all kinds of logics that are out there, theories that are out there.
I'm right here,
will.
David. Can he see
me? I heard one rumor that he is evading the law.
What?
I don't know if that's true. That
I'm right here.
You know, one who's been paying, you know, his taxes, and
I'm sitting right next to
him. So he's on the run from the law. You know, I've heard other theories that, you know, he's just on a vacation, other theories that he's just busy.
Okay.
So I have no idea what the heck is going on with that guy.
I have
guy,
no idea what's going on either.
Anyway, I'm not Nick Perez, I'm David Creek, and I am here in his place for the entire episode, in studio.
I'm right here.
For the entire episode. Live from the Pulpit, coming to you with a rare late night edition.
It's the middle of the
of
day.
Life from the Pulpit.
David,
yeah.
Where are you getting this audio?
Life from the Pulpit after dark.
Ooh la la.
How did you get this audio?
Okay, now, everybody who is listening.
Yeah.
Everybody who is not listening.
Wait, what?
You all do me a favor right here and right now.
Okay.
I want you to reach into your pocket.
Okay.
Lift up your smartphone.
I got it.
And go into your garage.
Well,
get
okay.
a hammer.
Uh-huh.
Or preferably a sledgehammer. And break it.
Okay.
Break your smartphone. Throw your smartphone away.
This doesn't seem right.
Put down the iPhone. Put down the BlackBerry. Put down the Android. Whatever you got, get rid of your smartphone. They're driving me insane. Get rid of them.
He's crazy.
Get rid of the smartphone.
David. Calm down, David.
I mean, everywhere you look, everywhere you go, they got the dang smartphone.
He's going to have an aneurysm.
Everywhere you go.
Hey, calm down. You're going to blow something out or something. Yeah, it's okay. Just
I'm okay.
Settle down.
I'm okay, right. Guys. I'm okay.
I just
had to get that out for a moment.
That's fine.
And I mean, what I don't understand is, I mean, you're sitting at a church service. You're sitting in the church service during the opening prayer when no scripture is being read. Oh, the reason why I bring my tablet to church service is because I can read the Bible on it. You know something? I mean, you millennials must think that we are really stupid, that, you know, that we can't figure out that. I mean, right in the middle of a prayer, we hear ding, 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 all these text messages coming in.
Uh-oh.
Right in the middle of opening prayer!
Here you
right
go.
In the middle of the opening! No! Scripture's being read!
You okay?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
You don't need to apologize.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm okay.
You gonna be all right?
Okay, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Do you want some water or something?
But I yearn for the time where...
Yeah?
Where if we want to wish our dad a happy Father's Day, that we don't write this long, flowery...
Uh-oh.
Syrupy, sugary, dog and pony show message for the entire world to, you know, to see.
That's deep, man.
You know, and I used to write those all the time. I mean... You know, I'll be the first one to admit that, but...
I remember reading them, too.
But you know something? I reached a point, though, about a year or so ago where I realized, if I want to tell Dad that I love him...
Yeah?
You know, I can be a lot more efficient with that.
How?
Write him a letter, stick it in the mail, or maybe even use this smartphone...
What a novel idea.
And actually make a phone call. And have a private conversation, but we don't want to do that, us millennials. We don't want to do that because it's not going to bring attention on us.
Now you got the meddling, David.
It removes the spotlight from us, and now all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I mean, it's Father's Day, but I want everybody to all be impressed about how much I love my dad and all these things I have to say about him.
That's what we do.
You aren't fooling anybody, millennials.
Tell them, David.
You're not fooling anybody.
Tell them.
And I am at my wits' end. Get rid of the smartphones. I mean, I was in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a month ago.
Where?
Church of Christ over in... Uh-huh. And, I mean, we're right in the middle of the service, right in the middle of the opening prayer, and I...
What happened?
Hear all of these distractions. And I won't mention which church this was, but it was a congregation in Arizona about a month or so ago. And I just opened one eye because I'm so distracted. I don't know what's going on around me.
Mm-hmm.
I open up one eye, and there's all these millennials smirking on their phones, writing on their phones.
No, come on.
On Facebook, on Instagram, or maybe even they're on Fleek.
Not in church.
Whatever it is, I don't care. You know, and then afterwards, probably, let's go to Starbucks and let's have a post about, here's a picture of my lunch. I'm about to have lunch at Starbucks. Here's a picture of it. Ching-ching.
That's what they do. That's what they do.
Nobody cares. Please get rid of the smartphones. And that brings me to my internet bill from last month.
What happened?
I mean, it's just driving me out of my mind. I was ripping. I was literally... so frustrated and so enraged that I was literally ripping hair out of my skull.
Yeah, I can tell.
I've got this huge...
You're missing some hair, dude.
Hair here and a huge bald spot there. Hair here,
teeth
bald
too,
spot.
Right?
All over the place. I'm a mess this month.
Yeah, I could tell.
You know, we realized that when we opened up our account, CenturyLink is who we had gone with three or so years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was advertised that it's going to be $19.99 a month, but guess what?
Yep.
A month later it's $29.99, and then it's $53.95, and then it's $79.99, and then for the last year and a half to 2 years it's been $93 or more every single month.
Gracious. But that's what they do, David.
So, we just had enough and we, had just had to give them a call but they make it so hard for you to cancel your service.
Oh, I know it. It's the worst.
I got one guy where as I called, and by the way, you have to wait on hold for like an hour and a half to like 3 hours.
That's what they do.
And it's very clear that they just want you to just get frustrated, get impatient, and just hang up the phone and keep the service. But oh no, they are messing with the wrong guy this time. And so anyway, I'm just... very patient, very calm at first. But
what'd you do, Neil Page? What'd you
do? And then I finally get an operator. Can't speak a... he just can't speak a lick of English. He lives in Malaysia.
Easy now.
Or Japan, or in one of those countries. And
so what happened?
You know, and so we are, you know, I'm trying to close my account.
Yeah.
Well, why would you need to close your account, sir?
I would like
to close my account. Well, why do you need to close your account?
That's what they do. That's
I don't owe you an explanation. Just close my account. Well, okay, but why do you need to close your account?
Unbelievable.
Long story short, we finally got it canceled, but I about lost my mind.
Yeah, I can tell.
I about lost my mind. And then last weekend, you know, the wife,
uh-oh,
you know, we are redoing her office, and she wanted a new desk.
Easy now.
And so we went and we got her a new desk, but it's not all in one piece.
No, of course not.
You know, I just don't understand why in the year 2016, why we don't have furniture and common office equipment already there in one piece, like a chair or a desk or a...
I know.
You know, or a table.
Yeah, it's the worst. I know.
No, but rather they expect everybody, they expect that everybody is going to be a master carpenter. Well, I'm not a master carpenter, and I hate organization.
Me
and
neither.
I hate, you know, having all these parts everywhere you look. I about lost my mind.
Yeah, I can tell.
I about lost my mind.
Yeah, it could have fooled me.
Then on Sunday, and I tried to be very nice about this, but on Sunday, I mean, every congregation where you go to, every single one of them.
Look out now. Here we go.
Every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
No, there is at least one person in that church.
Look out.
And I don't know when this started, because I don't remember this occurring in the early 90s or in the 80s, but like in 1997, 1998, 1999, in that window somewhere, all of a sudden...
I think you're right about that.
There is one person in every congregation where if a hymn uses the word stand... or arise, or any,
oh, yeah, I know what you're
any
talking about.
Word like that, that they have to dramatically rise, slowly rise from their pew and just stand all by themselves and just force everybody else to just stand up along with them. Just because that song has the word arise in it, or stand, you know, like Soldiers of Christ arise. And so, oh, you know, it used the word arise, and so everybody has to stand up.
I stand to praise you.
And, you know,
but fall on my knees, we don't do that one, right?
You know, I stand in awe of you.
Yeah.
You know, this song is not at all saying that I stand in awe of you, God. It's saying that I stand and I sing this song. I stand on my feet.
Yeah.
Well, just last week it happened again, and I was going to be a smart aleck about it.
Not you.
On the song, Low in the Grave He Lay, for example.
You wouldn't do this.
You know, in the chorus, it goes, up from the grave he arose, you know?
Right, right.
And every single time we sing that, I jumped up out of the pew, just because it said, arise, up from the grave he arose, and I jump up.
You didn't. Come on.
I believe it says it again.
Yeah, yeah.
With a triumph for his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain. And on the last one, no joke, I actually jumped up on the top.
No way.
I jumped up on the top of the pew.
You're kidding.
And I made my point to everybody because the week before that it was I stand in awe, and that one person stands and they give everybody the evil eye who isn't standing along with them. It just makes me want to.
I'm just picturing you do
but,
that.
You know?
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
But you know, it just keeps happening, and I don't know what we're going to have to do about this.
I know, you got me too, David. I don't know.
You know, but I'm at my wit's end about that, too. And let's see.
What's on your
right
mind?
Before Nick had left, the last episode that he had done, he was going through, I believe, in Philippians.
You know I'm right here, don't
he
you?
He was going through the book of Philippians. Not. You know, he was going on one of those, you know, those exposition things,
yeah.
You know, with the Bible and and stuff. And I've got a note here that he had left for me. The last verse that he had left off on, last episode he was in, was in Philippians 2, in verse 13. It says that he left off. So he wants me to continue his study Philippians 2 and verse 14.
Okay, go ahead.
And so let's just see what that says there.
What do you say?
Okay, Philippians 2 verse 14 says, "Do all things without grumbling or dispute." We won't really go into any depth on that verse.
Oh, come on.
On tonight's episode. I'll just leave that for him when he gets back.
You're
I'm sure he knows a lot more about it than I do.
Hey, what do you you just dropped your head. He's walking out. David has left. He just left. He just dropped the mic. That's unbelievable. And you're just going to leave me with the bag now. Okay. Well, wait a minute. He's coming back in. What are you doing in that chicken suit, David? He's wearing this giant chicken suit. He's just walked back into the studio here. And what are you doing in that chicken suit? Whoa! Dude, take it easy. Take it easy. Calm down.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm
just
okay.
Just relax. What's with the chicken suit? Now, David, you had something else you wanted to share, didn't you? There's some...
Oh, but for your listening pleasure.
Yeah, here we go.
We have a little treat for you tonight on Life from the Pulpit. We have the exclusive new single.
Okay.
Of an up-and-coming a cappella group.
What are they called?
And apparently they have a new song. And this is by an a cappella group, and they are called, let me see if I have this right, they are called the Rock'em Sock'em Robot Boys. And this song is called Alexander the Coppersmith.
Okay.
And so again, here is Alexander the Coppersmith by the Rock'em Sock'em Robot Boys, exclusive here on Life from the Pulpit. All right, let's give it a listen.
Yeah, let's do that.
The apostle wrote to Timothy. He said, "You've got to be kidding me. There's this rapscallion who's been dissing me. He'll forever live in infamy. You are to show him no sympathy. That would be pure stupidity. Our spirit isn't of timidity. Man, it's hot in this humidity. Have nothing to do with him. Not even a handshake, not even a smile. Alexander the Coppersmith, he was distant the Holy Writ. Alexander the Coppersmith, be on your guard against him. He vigorously opposed the teaching. Keep away from him, we are beseeching. Alexander the Coppersmith." Well, there are many people in the church today who are evil, who are mean, who are grumblers, who are complainers. Treat them just like Alexander the Coppersmith.
Oh, that's a wrap.
Crazy, David. You're crazy.
You're listening to Life from the Pulpit After Dark.
I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in love. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in love. Oh yeah. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in love. I'm all wrapped up, I'm all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in love. Oh yeah!
faster!
I'm all wrapped up, all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, all tied up, I'm all tangled up in love. I'm all wrapped up, all tied up, I'm all tangled up in Jesus. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in love. Oh yeah!
Quicker!
Yes!
Okay, enough of that, and welcome back to a David Creek free podcast. He has left the building. He left the studio. That's what he does. He drops the mic. Did you get what he was talking about? Some of you, you're not going to get it. You're going to think, oh, he's making fun of the program. Oh, he's making fun of Nick or whatever. He's not. There's actually he spent the whole episode complaining, read one passage of scripture, and then decided not to touch it. And that's exactly what many Christians do. They do something, they read a text of scripture, but it has no impact on them. It was an object lesson. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Murmuring or arguing is what another translation may say. This is an imperative. It's a command. Everything we do must be without complaining or arguing. He spent the whole episode. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Hat tip, David Creek, man, that guy. Spent the whole episode complaining. Reads this text and goes, well, you know, I don't know about that, right? We should not be like Israel and murmur. That's what they did in the Old Testament. Remember that? All throughout the wilderness, murmuring, complaining. God frees them from Egyptian captivity and they gripe. He feeds them and they gripe. He gives them to drink and they gripe. Murmuring. So we shouldn't be like Israel of the Old Testament. We should not be like the apostles of the New Testament, who, while they were on the way with Jesus, Mark chapter 9 tells us, they were arguing among themselves, specifically about who would be great. So we shouldn't complain, we shouldn't argue. Can you imagine how many church problems would go away if we actually took that imperative seriously? If we actually did what Scripture told us to do, and we didn't try to find ways to complain about members, other members, brothers and sisters in Christ, to complain about the song leader leading too many songs, or the prayer guy, he took too long praying, or the Lord's Supper. I don't like that person serving me the Lord's Supper. It happens to me all the time just because I'm in front of folks the most, the preacher, right? I mean, it's almost as if you can't do anything right. You can't win for losing. Because if I try and get around to everybody, oh, he didn't spend that much time with me. If I spend too much time with one person, oh, he's not going to come over and say hi to me? Was he too good for me? If I spend time and I'm just with dudes, the women get upset and they're like, oh, he doesn't like the women. I spend too much time with the women, talking with them, some of the widows. Oh, he likes the ladies, right? I mean, it's just one thing after another. We'll find anything we can latch on to complain about. If I go out and I'm visiting all the time with folks, out and about in members' homes, he's not at the building studying like he should. If I spend my time in the office studying like I should for these really good sermons that everybody loves, oh, he's not spending time out at the hospitals and visiting. You can't win for losing. You can't please everybody. But you know what? We all, as Christians, live under this umbrella where we're supposed to not grumble and complain and argue and all this stuff. And yet that's what we do. We look at that passage and we go, well, you know, I mean, that's for somebody else. You know, that's not for me. The crazy thing is, and David said, I'm going to pick up on this, right? When I get back, here I am, I'm back, even though I was here the whole time. Paul says in verse 15, here's the purpose. Okay, you ready for this? Here's the purpose. That you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Don't you see? We expect this kind of behavior from the world. They're the twisted and crooked generation, right? So we would expect them to complain and gripe about everything. But we as the children of God, who are supposed to be blameless and innocent, without blemish, that's the kind of stuff that shouldn't be among us, right? We need to listen. We dim our lights when we moan and grumble and complain, because then we're just acting like the world, and we don't have anything to offer the world then, right? But when we do things without grumbling and complaining, guess what? That's when we shine the brightest. That's when we are light to the world. That's when we are, verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Okay? So, and here's the other connective tissue to this thing, right? Sync this up with the gospel. Okay? When Jesus is being tried, and it was a circus court, right? Kangaroo court that he went to. He was tried, convicted, sentenced to death, forced to carry his own cross after he'd been scourged and beaten. And then he's nailed to that cross and he's hung there for 6 hours before he dies. Does he complain or grumble at all while he's going through any of that? Maybe that page got ripped out of my New Testament where Jesus spends the whole time complaining about this, right? Complaining about, man, it's just, ugh, I can't believe I'm having to die for these wicked people. No, he does everything. That's at the heart of the gospel, is Jesus going all the way to his death for us without grumbling and complaining about it. We whine and we complain about the smallest, stupidest stuff. Jesus went through the worst imaginable evil, and he never complained about it. Got me, because I do complain way too much. If David were here, amen. That's what he'd say in his chicken suit, okay? And so here's the thing. Again, if we followed this, imagine how many problems would go away. If we did all things without grumbling, if we actually worked out our own salvation with fear and trembling, God working in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Imagine what a testimony, what a witness that would be to a lost and dying world if we truly did everything without grumbling or complaining. These examples are written to teach us. Israel, the apostles, they're written to be instructive. Warnings, exhortation, but also that we might have hope that through the strength and the Spirit of Christ, we might allow the Spirit of Christ to be seen in us. Get us out of the way so that we don't gripe, we don't complain, we allow Christ to be seen in us. That's the goal. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook, Live from the Pulpit. Like the Facebook page. You'll get all the updates when I go live with the podcast, update the blog, or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Live from the Pulpit. The YouTube channel has many of the Question of the Day segments there for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store, Live from the Pulpit. Download all the episodes to your particular device. You'll never be more than a click away from an episode of the podcast. Follow me on Twitter, @InPulpit, at the letter N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E from the pulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary are there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Philippians, now Ephesians, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Brand new website, notsecretsecret.wordpress.com. All of my bulletin articles are there for you to read as well. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio there to help you in the daily walk with the Lord. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.